The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just a wedding planner, tearing it up. Listen, learn,
plan that wedding.
To the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. Hey, I'm Michelle Martinez. How you doing? What's going on? How are you? How's the wedding planning going? I just picture a lot of you out there listening, while you're working, perhaps you're delivering the mail. Are you delivering the mail right now? Are you walking your dog? What else have I been hearing lately from you all? Your commute to work, you're driving in the car, maybe you're on the train. Did you download this episode for a long plane ride? I do that a lot with my podcast. I also download movies. Like, it depends on how long the flight is. I'll download movies, shows on, you know, Netflix, Hulu. But I'll also go in and, like, capture as many podcasts as possible. I also, you know, here's a wedding planning tip. If you're using Google for your docs and your sheets, make them available offline. And if you're already on the plane and it's too late, sorry, but do it for the way back, okay? Do it for the return flight. It's all about, you know, just planning. It's what we do. So talking about planning, this episode is really good. So it was interesting when Aaron Thomas, somebody reached out to me and said, you know, Aaron likes to talk about prenups because prenups have a bad reputation. Like, you see it on movies or TV shows and somebody's getting married and, you know, usually they have a lot of money and then, you know, somebody suggests a prenup and then the other person gets totally offended. Like, what do you even think of me? Like, that has nothing to do with our love. And how could you, are you just assuming we're going to break up? Like, there's all this drama around the subject of a prenup. And for those of us who are like, we started out with nothing, we're like, meh, we wouldn't even think of doing a prenup because, like, why? What do I have? A car payment? I don't have anything. Like, what do I need a prenup for? But as you will hear in today's episode, you know, prenups are a lot more than just what we hear about or read about. And it's actually a pretty damn good idea to do this. And it was funny because Aaron used to give the advice as a divorce lawyer who was dealing with, you know, child support and all sorts of really horrible things. And this is when he was single, by the way. His advice used to be, don't get married. Don't do it. He's seen so many marriages fall apart. And I was just like, man, that must be tough, right? I mean, here I am on the other end of things. Right? I'm working with people for decades who are like in love and planning their weddings and they're just starting out and there's just like, ooh, it's so exciting. Whereas he all this time has been working with people who are literally like just like hating on each other. And I can see how that would make someone think like, yeah, this is just a shitty idea. Like, don't do it. But that is, of course, not the message we are sending you today on this episode. I love to find guests like Aaron for the pod because it's not your normal, like, here's how to, you know, create a guest list. Here's how to stay within budget. Although these are very important things, this is something that you might not have thought about that you may want to listen to with your partner. You may want to listen to this episode together. And I think it's a great idea. And so I hope you take away a lot here. I would love to know if anyone listening right now has a prenup or is in the process of getting one, and how that experience has been for you. You know, like, why did you do it? Or rather, why are you doing it? I would love to know. So make sure you DM on Instagram when you're listening. Share this episode. You know, that's something that I don't ever ask you all to do. And I know verbally you tell your friends and family who are getting married about the pod. I know that. And I freaking love it. And I appreciate it. But it's really easy also to just like take a screenshot of your podcast player or even on Spotify. Like, you can literally share directly to Instagram the episode that you're listening to and recommend it to other people. That would be so cool. Can you do that for me? Okay. All right. Enough about that. Let's get into this episode. Thank you so much to our guest, Aaron Thomas. You know, again, someone still, after all these years, kind of blew my mind with some really great information. I hope you all enjoy this. Love you, love your show.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas. I am a family law attorney in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm also the founder of prenups.com.
Prenups.com. What a URL. I like that.
Thank you.
Aaron, thank you for being with us today on this episode. I think it's important to talk about these things. You know, I always recommend that couples kind of think about more than just the wedding planning, right? And in your case, you know, this is oftentimes the first step even before they start wedding planning, I'm assuming, is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good idea to talk about financial issues before the wedding. That's going to play into even the budget for the wedding planning, I would assume. So, but also more importantly, it has to do with your life together. So certainly I think couples should start talking about financial issues and making sure they're on the same page before or during the wedding planning season. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that money is something that's really hard to talk about for a lot of people. And I know that in relationships, it's something that often causes friction, arguments. I don't know why it's so hard. I think it probably, you know, it depends on, you know, the age of the couple. If you're getting married later on in life and you've been making your own money for a while, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I gotta discuss this with my partner. Like, I'm going to go get my nails done. I don't even care what you think. Like, no.
Right.
So I think it's so great. I mean, it's something that when I got married, I was in my, you know, early 20s, mid 20s, you know, we were just kids in our 20s, just spending money. Like, you know, as soon as we got it, we didn't think about anything. We weren't very educated where money is concerned. And now we're trying very hard to make up for that. But it's, you know, we've been married 20 years and we've had lots of money, I guess, arguments, discussions, frustrations,
Yeah.
You know, so let's start off with, it's really funny because when you and I did our onboarding call, one of the first things you said to me is like, you used to advise people not to get married.
Right.
Why? Right. Why?
Yeah. Yeah. So I started, you know, I practiced family law, which is, you know, a euphemism for divorce lawyer. Right. And I started doing family law in 2007. And so I was there for the financial crisis of 08 and 09. And I saw firsthand money breaking apart relationships left and right. And, you know, there were so many things that I saw my clients go through that I wanted to avoid at all costs. And, you know, no one's ever disagreed with me when I've said this. A messy divorce is best avoided at all costs. Mm. Nobody wants to go through a messy divorce. And so many people, didn't realize kind of the financial rules of marriage until they were actually going through the divorce case. And they would come in my office and say, what do you mean she wants half of my retirement? What do you mean he wants half of the equity in the house where I've been paying the mortgage for the past 10 years? And I had to, you know, kind of explain to people that it doesn't matter whose name is on the bank account or the mortgage or the retirement account. Like, if it was earned during the marriage, that's marital and it's up for division. And a lot of people find that out in the middle of their divorce case. And I just saw so many bad marriages that I would literally tell my friends and family, you can, if you want to spend the rest of your life with someone, that's fine. You know, have a big party, invite all your friends, wear a white dress if that's your thing, throw rice in the air, change your last name if that's your thing, but don't actually go through with the legal act of getting married because you have no idea what you're getting into. That's how scared of marriage I was in my early
days. Yeah. Wow. That is a strong position. That is a strong, and like you said, that's how scared you were because of all of the probably fights and arguments and just painful situations that you were seeing people go through, right?
Painful situations, you know, divorces lasting, you know, on average, a contested divorce lasts a year. And so many were lasting 18 months, 2 years, costing people tens of thousands of dollars, sometimes into the hundreds. And just the emotional toll that it took on couples, that it took on children, people losing their jobs. I mean, divorce is, you know, one of the most painful things that you can go through. And that's how bad, I had a front row seat for some of the worst divorces that there were. And it really scared me off until I kind of, you know, I progressed in the way that I looked at marriage, you know, and realized that it's not marriage itself that's the problem. It's the way that you do it. And there are certain things that you can do to put yourself in a better position for your marriage to have success, as well as if things do go south, put yourself in a position where you're not one of these couples that spends a year and a half and $100,000, you know, trying to separate yourselves from the marriage.
So you saw the dirty side of the end of the marriage, but you changed your mind a little bit.
I did.
How did that happen?
I met someone years into being a divorce lawyer, and she was actually fresh off of a divorce herself. And so at the beginning, we were aligned in being anti-marriage, but the more we got to know each other, I think we realized we wanted to spend our lives together. And I started thinking, okay, if I were going to avoid all of the pitfalls that I've saw my clients go through in divorces over the years, how would I do that? And I kind of started trying to reverse engineer a successful relationship by kind of process of elimination of what I saw my clients go through. And, you know, it gave me the idea for, you know, if I were going to draft the prenup that could actually help us stay married, what would I put in that prenup? And, you know, it began with kind of these ideas of like, okay, what makes for, you know, obviously you can't put into the prenup something about your love life, you know, or, you know, you can't make yourselves be on the same page in terms of like parenting principles, but at least I could try to eliminate the financial fights, which, you know, plague every divorce that I've ever had. And a lot of people who stay married, you know, have financial, you know, disagreements from time to time. And so, you know, I also realized over time of watching these couples that there are certain principles that work. There are certain principles that do not work when it comes to couples handling their finances. For example, you know, I did a divorce with one couple where the husband worked, the wife stayed home and helped raise children and took care of the household. And the husband made $200,000 a year, and he gave his wife an allowance of $300 a month. And in my book, that's abuse. that's what that rises to.
Yeah,
that was, and it was like, you know, you can't be living in the same household and in different socioeconomic classes, right? It's a recipe for disaster. And so I realized there has to be some kind of, you know, sharing of the income within the household itself. There needs to be transparency. it's got to be fair, and there's got to be communication. And those are kind of, those were the three principles that I started with to say, okay, these are three things that I know are the cornerstones of a successful financial relationship: transparency, communication, and fairness.
Transparency, communication, and fairness. Okay. These are, this is important, people. Transparency, communication, and fairness. You know, it's interesting because I feel like a lot of people go into marriages thinking, oh, this is it. This is my life partner. It's going to be peaches and cream. And I'll like, yay, we're in love. And for many people, it is that way. And, you know, well, it's not always peaches and cream, let me tell you. But nobody really considers, or maybe in the back of their mind, they're like, yeah, we could get divorced, but that'll never happen. Whereas you're going into a relationship going like, I'm going to be real. Like, it could end. And if it does, I really love this person and I like this person a lot. And I want to set up things in a way to where if it does end, I really hope it doesn't. But if it does, we're not going to have these horrible, horrible experiences that I have witnessed with all of my clients. Am I right?
Right. Right.
And that's what people should be thinking about now. I know y'all are getting married. I know you're excited. I know you think it's going to last forever. And let me tell you, it might. It might not, but let's not set things up and talk. And that's what this is what Aaron's going to do for you right now, peeps. He's going to tell you how you can be successful in your relationship from a financial perspective. Communication is something we talk about all the time.
Right. Right. I think that it is, you know, certainly true that, you know, if you end up going through a divorce, if your marriage comes to an end, it is a great idea to lock in the idea of fairness at the beginning, right? You want to know at the beginning, I mean, you should know at the beginning of your marriage, if you're marrying the kind of person where if you get in an argument, they're going to try to leave you penniless at the end of the day. Mm. And so it can be a protection against that by just kind of locking in. I mean, my wife and I's prenup pretty simply says, if anything ever happens, we're splitting everything we built together 50-50.
Everything you built together.
Everything we built together.
But nothing you built prior to that?
But nothing we built prior to that.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. That seems fair.
Right. And that's what most people want. I think the problem is you're into, you know, a marriage, you're 10, 15 years in. And when it's time to divvy up the assets, nobody agrees what they had 10, 15 years ago. I mean, imagine trying to find every bank statement, every retirement statement, you know, what the mortgage statement was for literally the month that you got married 15, 20 years in the past. And so the reality is people spend tens of thousands of dollars on lawyers and forensic accountants trying to go back and figure out, you know, what did I have and what did that grow into? And I had 50,000 in this account and that account has grown by this amount over this amount of time. And this house has grown in equity this amount, you know, over the course of our 15, 20 years of marriage. And that process itself ends up being expensive and paying lawyers to go battle it out.
Interesting. So that you're paying somebody to basically go research what you were doing before you got married to make sure that that stays yours or it gets split up or whatever.
Right, right. It's not just, you know, many people think about prenups and they're like, well, I don't have a ton of money, so I don't have anything to protect. But it's not just protecting the premarital assets. It's protecting against those humongous costs of the divorce case itself, the paying of the lawyers, the paying of the accountants to do the math and to make the arguments as to why you should get what you're saying you should get. That is actually kind of more expensive than people worrying about, you know, oh, I need to protect all of these assets that I came into the marriage with. And so that's one side of the prenup argument. And the other side of the argument that I like to make is even if you don't ever get divorced, having a prenup can still be a good thing because of what it will do for your relationship. And it kind of comes back to those principles we were talking about, Michelle, of transparency, communication, and fairness. And so, for example, for your prenup to be enforceable in any of the 50 states in the United States, for your prenup to be enforceable, both spouses have to disclose all of their assets and debts with the other person. We literally write them all down on paper and have them as a schedule attached to the agreement itself. And just that simple act is such an important thing for couples to do that you would be shocked how many couples do not kind of lay naked their financial status to the other.
What if somebody, Aaron, I mean, I'm just thinking of, in my mind, I'm visualizing a lot of my listeners that I've interacted with and talked to who are young, you know, who, like you said, they don't own any homes. Maybe they have a car. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a lease. I mean, if, you know, me, thinking about me back when we were getting married, I mean, I don't know anything that I had that I'd have to put in a prenup. So what would you tell someone like me back when I was 25? Like, what would I be putting in there?
Yeah. So the way that I like to explain the prenup is that there's kind of three parts. There's before the marriage, there's during the marriage, and then there's what I call the contingency plans, or maybe, you know, after the marriage.
Okay. Right? just in case.
Right. And so before the marriage is, you know, making clear what each of you are bringing in, you know, and maybe you don't have a lot of money. For some people, it's debt. Some people don't want to be on the hook for their spouse's credit card debt or their student debt, right? And so I think a lot of people underestimate the complexity of their finances when they go into a marriage, and they think, well, I've only got, you know, 20 grand in my retirement account, and I've just got this car, and that's it. I'm renting an apartment. You know, I've got student loan debt. But, you know, the truth is, in today's day and age, our finances are way more complex than we give them credit for. You know, I mean, think about our parents' generation. My parents got married in the 60s, right? And so the marrying couple back then, first of all, their average age was like 21, you know, before a couple getting married back then. And so a lot of people were going straight from their parents' house into their marital house. They never even lived on their own and had their own finances. And those couples, it was common for each spouse to have, you know, 0-1 bank accounts. Credit cards barely even existed back then. Student loans weren't insane like they are today. You know, they were the kind of thing you could pay off with a year of work, or a lot of people worked themselves through school. And so the average couple getting married back then, they didn't have a house yet. They didn't have 401k. They had no retirement. I mean, they were literally a blank slate. And so our parents' generation, or grandparents' generation getting married, they were coming in like, you know, a couple that was starting a startup together from scratch, from zero assets. They're in their garage. They're starting up. They're building from nothing. And the average couple who gets married today, they're more likely to be 28, 29, 30. Mm-hmm. That's the average of the couple who gets married for the first time today. And that couple is likely to have, you know, a car each, 4-5 credit cards, 3-5 bank accounts. They probably got a couple retirement accounts because they didn't roll over the first one, you know, to the second, because they're probably on their second job, age 30. They've got student loan debt. One or both of them is likely to have a mortgage. And so, you know, one might even own a business by that point. And so the couple who gets married today, even if those numbers are not humongous, we're not talking about hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, even though those numbers aren't humongous, it's complex. And on top of all of that, they've got a decade worth of financial habits that they've built up living outside of their parents' house on their own. And sometimes that's even more important than the assets and the debts. And so that couple combining, you know, if the couple in the 60s getting married was like a startup, the couple getting married today is like merging two fully formed corporations.
Okay.
And you would just never do something that complex without sitting down and having a serious conversation about what is this going to look like? You know, what bills are getting paid from what accounts? And that's that second part of the prenup, is during the marriage. A lot of people don't think about this. You can decide, how are you going to pay your expenses? Are you going to have a joint account and a couple separate accounts? Are the paychecks going to go into your separate accounts, and then you fund a joint account together that you pay for joint expenses from? Are you going to keep all your money completely separate, or is all the money go into a joint bank account? And what's going to pay for what? Are you going to, you know, have rules around loaning money to family and friends? Are you going to have rules about how much you can spend without having to check in with the other spouse? All of these things are the kinds of things that couples fight about during relationships. But if you have someone that can kind of guide you through the process and say, hey, here are some ways that work to set up your finances, and here are some things you might want to avoid. Mm-hmm. And you can put that in writing and have that as, you know, okay, this is what we agreed to do when we get married. And I have firsthand seen that help couples prevent a lot of money fights during the course of their marriage, whether or not they ever get divorced, by putting this in their prenup.
All right, people, listen up. A lot of you ask me about digital invitations, digital RSVPs, and I've got a great solution for you.
Evite. You all know Evite. I've used Evite. I get Evites all the time. And Evite offers thousands of free digital invitation options, all fully customized. You can choose any design created by their community of professional artists, or you can upload your own unique design. Save the dates, engagement parties, bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, rehearsal dinners. The sky is the limit, people. Wedding day invitations, digital. They also have premium invitation options available that will really just like blow your guests' minds, okay? They're gorgeous, they're amazing. Their design templates are super easy to use. They're fun, and it takes just a few minutes to create your own custom digital invite and send it to everybody on your guest list. And that RSVP tracking is included. You can link to Amazon or your Target gift registry. So this is really, really great. I'm loving Evite. I have forever, okay, for years. They offer amazingly designed greeting cards also that you can send if you're attending a wedding. Some of us don't want to print. I get it. And I'm here for you. If that is you, you do you, boo. Do not stress over the invitations. Find amazing, beautiful, one-of-a-kind designs in minutes for free. Head over to evite.com/bigwedding. That's evite.com/bigwedding. evite.com/bigwedding. Did you hear that? And you're going to find so many amazing options for digital invitations and more. Thank you so much, Evite. Starting a life together in debt is no bueno. But how do you cut wedding costs without it feeling like a shitty graduation party? Flower Moxie, that's how. Flower Moxie is a DIY flower company that ships all over the United States. They sell gorgeous wholesale flowers that you build yourself a couple of days before your wedding. We're talking boutonnieres, bouquets, flower arches, centerpieces. They've got a tutorial for everything. Plus, they've created a DIY masterclass exclusively for customers that gets you prepared for everything. Also, they are such a fun, inclusive brand, and their website literally says things like, "We won't leave you with your boobs flapping in the wind." I mean, how can you not want to exchange BFF necklaces instantly? So, if you want to cut your flower budget in half, double your bragging rights, and create the absolute best wedding memories by building your bouquets with your besties, order your DIY flowers from Flower Moxie by going to flowermoxie.com. And guess what? You know we've got a promo code. You know we've got a discount. If you use code BIGWEDDING, you're going to get $25 off your purchase. $25 off your purchase using code BIGWEDDING is a pretty damn good savings because the costs are already low, okay? And if you spend $500 or more, which is very easy to do, by the way, I mean, can you imagine having your entire floral budget for your wedding be $500? How awesome would that be? If you spend $500 or more, you're gonna get free shipping. So this is a win-win, peeps, okay? Flowermoxie.com, code BIGWEDDING for $25 off your purchase. And if you spend $500 or more, you're gonna get free shipping. So there you go. You're welcome. And thank you to our friends at Flower Moxie.
Okay, I'm totally wrapping my brain around this now, and it makes complete sense. So a prenup is not a bad thing. A prenup is something that we just use as it's like you were saying. Actually, it clicked in my brain. You said if I'm going to go into business with somebody, I'm gonna at least have an attorney write something up that says, "Here's how we're going to do things." And then boom, let's go. Let's start our business together. Same thing. Let's start our lives together. Let's start our marriage. Let's go. We've got a good foundation already. And so going back to those three things that lead to a successful financial relationship. I like a successful financial relationship. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing bad about that at all. That's all good. That's good stuff. Transparency. Yeah. When you talk about transparency, I mean, can you elaborate on that a little bit? How can a couple just kind of put some of these into play?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, so, you know, number one is disclosing everything when you come in. What are your assets? What are your debts? What is your income? And that can be tough to do because you're not going to lay that out on the table on the first date. Right. It's not first date material. It's not even second date material. But then you get into this relationship and you're courting, and there's never a good time to say, okay, you know, open up your balance sheet, you know, what are all your assets and debts? This kind of forces that conversation to happen. But it's important to know, right? We all have that friend that got married and was like, oh my gosh. And then we got married and I had no idea that, you know, he had $80,000 of credit card debt, or, you know, that there were all these accounts or all these money, or that he handled his money this way, or that he was, you know, carrying balances, you know, on all these debts, or that his credit score was 400. By having these conversations, you start off with the transparency, and then you can practice that kind of transparency during the relationship. So, for example, In my prenup with my wife, we have a rule where we have to sit down every December and, you know, we do our taxes together, but we also decide what are going to be our, you know, retirement contributions for the upcoming year. You know, what kind of categories, you know, what did we spend our money on last year? What did we want to spend our money on, you know, for the upcoming year? You know, this budgeting process where everything is 100% transparent. We both know exactly every dime that the other person earns. And we also have a rule that says any expense that either one of us is going to incur over $500, we have to check with the other spouse about it first. And it's not about control or like giving permission. It's about that mutual respect of like, hey, you know, me spending money, me incurring debt affects you as my partner. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to give you that respect. And it's not about going, like I said, it's not begging for permission, but it's just, hey, I'm thinking about getting this, you know, what do you think? And giving the other spouse the opportunity to say, oh, I like this, or maybe we should consider this option, or maybe don't spend money because I've actually got something that meets that need there. And I have found that if you build in these kind of principles of transparency and communication like this on the financial issues, that it tends to bleed over into other aspects of your marriage, that respect of communicating with your spouse, telling them what you're thinking about, you know, decisions that impact you as a couple.
I think that's so important. I think, I mean, I've been guilty of this, that, you know, it's not about getting permission. And I think that's the big thing when it comes to money and couples, like, It yours is $500. I mean, that's to me, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't even spend a couple hundred dollars without talking to my husband about it first. But it also kind of is like, oh, I don't want to talk to him about it. And I think that's what a lot of people equate it to, is like, I'm not asking your permission. You can't control what I spend. I mean, it's all about this whole like wanting to have control over our own things and our own lives and our own spending. If in fact it is, and just thinking about it as it's going to affect our bank account together, our relationship, our potential debt, and just thinking of it like that and working as a team, as opposed to I could do what I want, you better go, you could go do what you want, and I don't owe you any discussion, like taking that out of it and just thinking about working as a team, could save a lot of stressy stress, a lot of uncomfortable conversations after the fact. Yeah,
for sure. I mean, it's just like you said, for some couples, it's, you know, that number is $100. For some, it's $1,000. You know, I've even done a prenup where, you know, anything up to 10,000, they were like, no, we don't need to talk about anything over 10,000. They need to discuss.
But so that would be written in the prenup. Like, we will have a discussion if one of us wants to spend X amount of money.
Yeah. And usually we're talking about money from joint accounts, you know. So again, you know, in my relationship, what we did is we set up a joint account, and then we each have our own separate accounts. And, you know, the money that goes in the joint account that pays for bills. We discuss it with each other. Those are meals that we eat out together. That's travel we do together. That's our mortgage and our utilities. But then we each get an allowance that goes into our separate accounts, and we're allowed to spend our separate money on whatever we want with no input from the other, with no oversight. It's no one's business. And I have found that that one trick alone saves so many arguments because, you know, in my relationship, Michelle, for example, I'm the kind of person I gotta have the new phone every year. I get the new updated one. I don't even know what the new features are, but I'm getting the new phone every year. I gotta have it. And my wife, that's just not important to her. She'll take the last year's phone, you know, when I'm done with it. She doesn't need to have the new phone, but her thing is, you know, she likes to have variety. She likes to go out for lunch. I can have the same PB&J for lunch every day. She's going to go out, you know, and have lunch every day. And if those kinds of expenses were coming from the joint account, I'd feel a little probably tweak of resentment every time I saw, you know, a $20 lunch coming out. Cause to me, that's a waste of money when you can just make your sandwich and take it. And to her, seeing that $1,000 phone come out every year, to her, that would look like a waste of money.
Yeah.
But because we don't even see those expenses because they come out of our separate money, our separate bank accounts that the other one doesn't have access to, it doesn't impact the other spouse. And because we're both getting kind of equal amounts in our allowance, it doesn't matter what you spend it on because we're both getting the same amount and it comes out as fair. So
that's a really good tip. I think I'm going to talk to my husband about that, actually. You know, like we each have our, and our kids, you know, we just got back from a trip where, you know, we were so excited. Kids are both vaxxed. We flew to Las Vegas to go visit family. It was shopping, shopping, shopping for the kids. And I'm like, this is a lot of money, the clothes that they're buying. And of course, we just got back. My husband's like, well, we're going to get on a tight budget. Rah, 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 rah. You know, I said, well, let's talk to the kids because you just got them in this mindset that, like, you know, they can go spend several hundred dollars on clothing just because we flew somewhere, you know. But I like the idea of saying, and you know, you're a kid, you get a little allowance, but I like the idea of being like, okay, we each have an allowance. This is your money. You decide what you're going to spend it on, but that's it. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then once that money's gone. There's no dipping into the household fund that pays for the real bills and the mortgage and that thing. And yeah, a lot of people do exactly what you're talking about. They got, you know, spouse one's bucket. They got spouse two's bucket. They have children bucket. Some people have the little pet bucket, you know, some people's pets are their kids, you know, and
she's got to get groomed. I'm not doing it.
She doesn't need for free. So
she doesn't need for free. Yeah. That nice, healthy kibble. Okay, good. All right. I like that. And that goes into a prenup. See, I feel like my idea of a prenup is like, oh, I'm covering my bases because I know you and I are probably going to split up and I'm going to say keep my money. So this is all about transparency and communication and kind of setting up a budget or, you know, what we're every December, we're going to talk about our taxes or whatever it is. These are all the types of things that go into a prenup.
Yeah. We put all these things in a prenup. And, you know, another one we have in mind is, we have a travel budget. Our big thing, we decided, you know, this is one of the things I like to put into prenups is like, let's come up with something fun. What is something that both of you enjoy, something you like, something you have a goal for together? And for me and my wife, it's travel. So we made a rule that, you know, 5% of all the money that comes in is going to get set aside for a travel budget. It's a healthy amount of budget, but what it means is when we want to take a trip, the money is already set aside there to go take the trip. It's something we decided we wanted to do together. For some people, it's a baby fund, or it's to buy that first house, or it's to, you know, go into business together. And you can put that into the prenup so that the money is set aside for these things that you decided as a couple is important. Access to financial advisor meetings is another popular one where couples will say, all right, if one of us is going to go to a financial advisor and talk, the other person gets to come along for the meetings. A lot of times, you know, one spouse, almost every couple has what I call the CFO, right? The chief financial officer.
Yep.
There's one person who does the spreadsheets and they keep up with the numbers. And the other person says, okay, you handle that. And I trust you to handle that. But again, if we're using the analogy that your marriage is a corporation, The CFO doesn't just do all of this stuff in the dark. And, you know, the CFO has a duty to report what is the state of the finances are to the shareholders. You have your quarterly shareholder meeting, right? Where you come and you say, here's the state of our finances, and here's where the money is going, and here's where we're investing, and here's where we're saving for retirement. And so kind of, you know, building these meetings in, these shareholders meetings, the access to financial statements, the access to financial advisors, building in the rules about communicating about large expenses. These are all things that have nothing to do with getting divorced, right? But that you can still include in your.
Yeah, because I can't tell you how fast time flies. And then, you know, after 5 years, you're like, huh, we don't really have a savings right now. Or when's the last time we went on a vacation? But man, I really love that new Gucci bag. It's really cute.
Right, right. And sometimes people start pointing the fingers at each other. Well, this means that both there's transparency.
Yes.
Regularly, all the numbers coming out on the table so nobody can claim they didn't know what was going on. You know, ultimately, I think it benefits the couple because it makes you realize, hey, we're in this together. It gives you those opportunities to have that conversation. Where's the savings account? Maybe we should start putting some money away.
Right. Everyone's accountable. You both are aware of what's going on. I love it. Very cool.
Yeah. And then that last part, you know, I said there's before the marriage, there's during the marriage, and then there is the quote unquote contingency plans. And that last part is what most people, that's all they think a prenup is if things go south, what happens? And I say contingency plans and not just divorce, because I also put in that category, you know, are we going to have life insurance? If so, how much life insurance? It doesn't have to be divorce. It could be, you know, protecting for those kinds of things. Are we going to get wills? You know, your will is not the same thing as your prenup, but you can certainly put into your prenup, hey, we agree we're going to get wills. We're going to show them to each other. We're just going to know, you know, where those things are.
Yeah.
And then certainly if you, you know, the same way that, you know, if you were going to business with somebody, you would have an escape valve. You have a plan for an orderly transition. So if the business comes to an end, if your marriage comes to an end, can we do things in a way that treats both people with respect, that treats both people fairly? It's that last principle of fairness coming, that treats
fairness
fairly, and do it in a way that doesn't cost us a fortune in attorneys and in financial advisors and accountants. In the pain and stress that comes into a long and arduous divorce, if we can decide when we love each other what's fair, you know, waiting till, you know, divorce is a cruel joke because you wait until all of the trust has been broken down and all of this, you know, negative feelings have been built up with the other person, and then you're supposed to agree on how to manage all the division of your finances from the past 10, 20, 30 years. Yeah. I found that it's much easier and ends in much fairer results for people to agree on what that contingency plan would look like, what it would look like if the marriage fell apart. How would you handle your finances? You're much better off deciding that when you love each other and you're communicating well and the trust is there than trying to save that decision until way down the line when all the trust has been broken and people just want to leave the other one penniless. That is, you know, a recipe for a not good, you know, ending. So that's one other benefit of the prenup, is preventing that unfortunate divorce is hard enough as it is. It's hard enough as it is. Certainly, if you can remove some of the pain by taking some of the lawyers and the lawyers' costs and the time out of the equation, that's a good thing to do in my book.
I agree. And then at least, you know, when you're going through that, everything that you put in place was from a time when you all were level-headed, when you trusted each other, you knew you were looking out for one another. And then that comes into play if anything, you know, goes awry. And this is not, you know, again, like, it's not just about thinking about the end of something. It's actually putting parameters into place for a successful marriage, because you love each other. That's easy.
Right.
I mean, I love you. You love me. I'm going to kiss you. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to make you dinner. I'm going to friggin' plan an awesome night out. I'm going to buy some cute, you know, clothes that you'd like to see me in or something for you. But, you know, the not sexy stuff is like, it's like wedding planning. There's some not sexy parts of wedding planning. It's all the administrative and financial and reading contracts. And it's all that stuff. So, I mean, as with any, you know, good partnership, you've got to think about and communicate about the functionalities of money. I mean, you know.
I love how you put that. I think that is so perfect, because so many people's objection to the idea of a prenup, nobody objects to like the individual parts, right? When I break it down and talk about like, should you be transparent with your spouse? Should you discuss large expenses? Should you have a plan and a budget? Nobody disagrees with those component parts. They hate the idea of the prenup. They hate the word prenup because it's not sexy. It's not romantic. But just like there are unsexy parts of planning a wedding, how much of your marriage isn't the most romantic thing? Mm-hmm. In fact, I think successful marriages are all about, you know, getting through and dealing with, you know, the less than romantic parts, the unsexy parts, you know, of the marriage. And there's a lot of it.
Like the recycling bin that's piling up in my kitchen right now that neither of us have taken out because we just pass on by and wait for the other one to do it. I should have that in the prenup, Aaron.
Yeah.
I schedule on the refrigerator. For sure. I mean, this all makes complete sense. And I think it's so important for those listening, you know, even if you started the wedding planning, like listen to this episode together, sit down and talk about this stuff and start with the basics. Like literally I wrote, everyone gets an allowance while we were talking. And like tonight at dinner, I'm like going to talk to my husband and the kids about it. It makes total sense. Or, you know, you want to go out and go spend money, whatever it is. Think about that stuff and don't wait until you're like, oh shit, it's coming around again. I'm going to have to spend money. Hopefully, you know, nobody's going to get pissy about it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
I love it, Aaron. I love it. It's so good. And it makes complete sense. Now you started prenups.com and I'm on the website. It looks, you're serving Georgia, New York, and Virginia.
That's right.
So somebody goes on there and they make an appointment with you or your staff?
Yeah. Yeah. They make an appointment. They can make an appointment right there on the website and pay for the consultation and choose their time and set it up. And we will spend some time going through their specific situation and thinking about what kinds of terms, you know, the kind of the menu of different options, you know, some of which I was laying out today. Would be good for that couple.
Before I let you go, is it expensive to create a prenup? I mean, how long does it take usually? And what are we talking about? I mean, I know every attorney charges differently, but like ballpark.
Right, right. No. So like, as we are recording this right now, and I can't promise the price will stay the same forever, but we do prenups for a flat fee of $2,500. It is, you know, it is a fraction of the normal kind of getting married and the expenses that go with that budget. And I tell people just to count it into your, you know, getting married budget. And we can usually turn them around in less than 2 weeks.
Okay.
From very beginning to very end. Oftentimes we'll finish it in less than a week. So okay. The biggest part of it is really, you know, the couple kind of sitting down and talking through, you know, what's important to them and figuring out what they want in their documents. So, yeah.
Is there anything people can do, you know, as easy as sitting down and writing these things out now, and then maybe, you know, does it matter if you're legally married already? Can you do it after you're married?
Yeah.
Can I do it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called a postnup. So you can do a postnup. It's you can cover all the same things you do in a prenup, but it's after you've been married. And we certainly have several couples that come in. Some are people who wanted a prenup, but they just didn't get it signed before the date they got married. But a lot of people use it as kind of a time to reset in terms of their marital finances. You know, maybe they've reached a sticking point and they say, hey, let's back up and let's come at this, you know, in a more fair and transparent way, you know, to handle our finances. So,
well, this is good because I know that a lot of people listening are, you know, they're on a super tight budget for their weddings. They want to implement some of this stuff. A lot of you out there listening are doing these registries where you can actually registry for a honey fund or some sort of money. And, you know, you could take that money after the wedding, you know, and maybe put that away for your post-nup, right? To get all this stuff legal and in writing, but at least get it done and have it as a goal of something that you're able to do. But I think it right off the get-go, like just start writing stuff down now at the very least and have this dialogue, right? And like Aaron says, this transparency, communication and fairness, and start thinking about this now and have an open dialogue and, you know, put your vacation, you know, budget together, your travel budget. I love that. You take a percentage of your check and put it away just for travel. I love that idea.
Yeah. Yeah. The, you know, I think what you said is important. You know, even if you don't go get a prenup, I think at least have these conversations, you know, even if you don't, I'm a lawyer. So of course I want you to get the legally enforceable document, but even if you don't get that, it's going to be so beneficial to at least have these conversations with your fiance, with your spouse, with your partner. And in fact, if you go to the website, prenups.com, we've got a free ebook for your listeners to download. It's called 7 Financial Strategies for Building a Rock Solid Marriage. The tips that are in there, you don't have to get the prenup. It's free. You can use these kinds of principles in your relationship, whether you're married or not. And, you know, my hope is that couples improve their relationships with finances, whether they hire us to do their prenup or not.
Oh my gosh, this is great. Actually, I don't know where that, well, maybe we can link to that if you send me the actual link to where that is, but I see you have a blog. Oh, I see. You sign up at the bottom of the page. Yep. You sign up for it. 7 financial strategies for building a rock solid marriage. There you go. At the bottom of the homepage. Boom. Perfect. Excellent. Well, very good, Aaron. I feel like we covered a lot and you gave some great advice. I'm really happy you got in touch. Is there anything else that we need to talk about before we wrap it up?
Yeah. Yeah. I would just say, you know, it is never too late. We touched on a little bit, but it's never too late to, you know, address the finances in your marriage or your relationship. And, you know, I hope everybody, you know, goes to the website. Like you said, we got a lot of great information on the website, the book, we got videos, we got blog posts on prenups.com. Come check us out.
Prenups.com and AaronThomasLaw.com. Very good, Aaron. Thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on and talking to us. And I'm gonna go have a nice, transparent dialogue with the family this evening about our allowance. I'm getting on it right away.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. You can get more wedding planning tips from the Big Wedding Planning Podcast YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join me and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. Have a wedding planning question or just want to get in touch? You can email me at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or my personal favorite, call and leave a voicemail at 415-723-1623. 1-800-275-2525, and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Love you. Love the show. Bye.